Let's go to Psalms again, and Psalms 23. We're just 23. We just saw an illustration of a sheep going astray there in Psalms 119 reading. And here in Psalms 23, we have the picture of the shepherd. Psalms 23 reads this way: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Last Sunday, we introduced to you this Psalm 23. And we tried to point out to you the context in which it lay in relationship to the Psalms. We found that in the New Testament, there's the shepherd illustration is used a number of times, and when it's used in three different fashions. In John 10, in verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep." In Psalms 23, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it talked about the Lord again, and it said that he was the great shepherd. And in that passage, it talks about how he provides for every need of his children, that the needs are going to be met. And then Peter talked about the shepherd again in 1 Peter 5 and 14, or 5 and verse 4, and he called the chief shepherd, and he said, "When the chief shepherd shall appear," talking about him coming back again. And we noted those passages. We came back to the Psalms, and I pointed out to you that in Psalms 22, we have the good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. The psalm begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And of course, it's a picture of and speaks prophetically of the Lord dying upon the cross. I think it's one of the most holy psalms in the Bible, in that it's a picture of the mind and the heart of the Lord looking down from the cross and some of the thoughts going through his mind in the humanity of the 100% man, 100% God. And Psalms 22 is a great good shepherd, and without Psalms 22, the provisions of Psalms 23 of the great shepherd is not possible. And then we pointed out to you Psalms 24, though again there's no word shepherd found in this, yet it corresponds with the chief shepherd coming again, and how he says in verse 7, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. And so what we find here is a picture of the Lord, L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, coming back to the earth, coming through the gates of Jerusalem. And it's a choir scene here. One part of the choir would sing out, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. And another part of the choir replies back, who is this King of glory? And then the other choir replies back, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And what a picture to understand and to grasp and to get into our hearts and mind that the very Jehovah God is going to come and rule upon the earth. That Jehovah God is going to come into the gates of Jerusalem, taking the throne of David, and not only being king over Israel, but the King of kings and Lord of lords. And so we have all of the shepherd pictured here in Psalms 22, 23, and 24. Now, what I want to do in these next number of weeks is just to work through Psalms 23 and note some of these things and try to become like sheep who have had their bellies full. They've went down and they're laying down. They're in the green pastures, but when they're there, if sheep are going to chew the cud. They're going to bring it back up, the grass that they've eaten, and they're going to chew it again and get more nourishment out of it. It's very easy for us to just read a passage and go through it and pull a little thing here and there. But sometimes it's good for us to stop and chew the cud. Stop and digest it. Stop and think about it. And really, that's one of the reasons why oftentimes you find in these Psalms, Selah. Not only is that word Selah believed to be a pause in the music, of course you understand that all these Psalms are really songs that were sang, and that Selah means to stop and pause. And the reason you stop and pause is that it wants you to think about it. There used to be, I knew a preacher there in Dallas area, Brother Hugh Atkinson, and he had a very unique way of preaching. He would make a statement and point out the scriptures and define it and break it down, and then he would stop, and he wouldn't talk for quite a while. That really accomplished two things. First of all, when a preacher is really hammering it out and he stops, the people who are sleeping or the people who are not paying attention or the people who are talking, you immediately get their attention. As a pastor, I learned a long time ago, you don't necessarily have to say, okay, you kids in the back, straighten up. You just need to quit talking. And they quit talking. Because it scares the fire out of them. They expose themselves. But Hugh would stop and then you say, well, why is he stopping? And make you nervous for a little bit. But then you realize that he's saying, okay, let's think about this. Let that sink in a little bit. You know, we come over, we're going to eat over it here. And some of us eat to live and some of us live to eat. And all this food gets on the plate. You know, my wife cooks a great meal. I come in and she spends half the day, maybe all day, fixing this meal. And I come in and I devour it in less than 5 minutes. And I'm on about my way, you know. and we need to stop and eat and think about it and enjoy it and meditate on it. So let's do that this morning. It says in this passage, the Lord is my shepherd. And of course, we pointed out to you, and you can see that it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which means Jehovah God. It's an emphasis causing us to think who our shepherd is. The need of a shepherd. Actually, sheep, if they're not really within a tight woven wire fence, they're going to have constant care. And even inside of a pasture and woven wire fence, you're going to have to continue to watch them and to provide for them and to care for them. We, of course, are in a very industrial time and a very computer-oriented society, and some people, even in our society, think that chocolate milk comes from brown cows. That's how much they know about agriculture. But sheep were very prominent, and some things we need to understand prominent in David's day. And that one of the things, as I'm saying, is that sheep need constant care. Unlike horses, which can run wild and survive down in Lower 48 in Nevada and in eastern Oregon, there was a lot of wild horses. And the BLM tried to round some of them up, and people had a fit about some of those horses becoming dog food and different things. But horses can survive. They're good survivors. And cows, left to their own, are going to pretty much take care of themselves. They can graze and get around. But sheep need constant care. Isaiah implies that when he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. It's the nature of the sheep to leave where he's supposed to be. It's the nature of the sheep to, for some reason, the sheep can be inside of a fenced-in area, and he can have there's good pasture in there. But for some reason, he sees that bit of longer grass outside the fence, and he just has to go get it. And so sheep go astray. Remember, at Jesus' birth, the Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The sheep there are even having to be cared for and watched at night because of their tendency to go astray. One thing about sheep also is that sheep are very susceptible to all kinds of diseases. The ticks will bother sheep much more than cows and horses. A different kind of diseases and foot rot and that all that wool on them. And there's just a lot of more doctoring that needs to take place with sheep. Sheep are helpless. They have no defense. They can't run very fast. They can't kick like a horse. They can't really, with their horns, do much damage as a cow could defend himself. And they're very, very helpless. They need a shepherd. The wolves and the bears. Remember, David talked about how that. He talked to Saul about going to fight the giant Goliath, and he said, the servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And he was just saying that God helped me to kill these animals. But my point is that the sheep had to be defended. Another thing about sheep is that they do very stupid things. They don't seem to be very bright. And so all of that to say this, that when God wanted to use an animal to describe his children, he didn't say they're wise as owls. He didn't even say they're bold as lions. But he said they're sheep. That they're susceptible to spiritual diseases, that they're always wanting, to go astray. They want, as that passage that we just read, they're wanting to get the greener grass on the other side. And actually, if you want to follow Frank Sinatra's philosophy and do it your way, as a Christian, you're going to find yourself cast down. That word cast down is used. David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? usually when we think of cast down, we think of, you know, you just cast something, you cast it away or threw it on the ground. But cast down, that means that there's a little depression in the ground. The sheep somehow has laid down there, and he's maybe ate too much, or somehow when he's sleeping, he rolls over, and he's rolled on his back, and he's like a little beetle that can't get turned over. He's cast down, and he's just there kicking his feet. And what a picture of people who get out of God's will. They're just cast. They're cast down. And we need the shepherd. We need somebody to come along, pick us up out of the hole. Do you ever find yourself in a hole? And how did you get there? Pick us out of the hole, set us upon solid ground, and get us going back into life and to serving him. And so I'm just simply saying this morning that we need a shepherd. And beyond just the need of the shepherd, understand that we have the greatest shepherd of all, the Lord. And that he wants to help us. He wants to protect us. He wants us to stay close by him. Now, we also pointed out last week that it's very necessary. This psalm really means nothing. It just can be quoted by rote. It has no depth to this. This psalm has no depth to it until you're born again. And in John chapter 10, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." So how do we identify if we truly have been born again? Well, the shepherd calls us to repentance. And if you've not truly repented of your sin, had a change of mind about who you are, and change of mind about your seriousness of your sin, a change of mind about the holiness of God, and that change of mind calls upon you to call upon God to save you, to turn you, to grant to you repentance. If it doesn't bring about a change in action, then we can't claim him as our shepherd. And a sign of that is that we have repented. There ought to be a humbleness about us. A sign of that is that we're going to want to do what the shepherd wants us to do. There's something wrong when someone confesses Jesus Christ as Savior, but they won't be identified with him by baptism. Either they don't understand baptism, or there's something wrong with their profession. There's something wrong when a person won't get into the designated place God has to feed them. Sheep need food. A pastor is called a pastor for the reason that he's to feed the flock over which God has made you the overseer. And if you don't get into a local New Testament Baptist church, I'm not going to run from that. If you don't get into a church where you can be fed, you're going to find yourself cast. You're going to find yourself on your back. You're going to find yourself down. And so they obey the shepherd's voice. And so Psalms 23 is a very wonderful psalm. It's a good piece of literature. The world identifies it as literature. But listen, it's written for a specific people. And the depths of it can never be plumbed until you know that you're saved and born again. Okay, now let's consider who the shepherd is, as we've already talked about a little bit. But it's the capital L-O-R-D, the very creator of all the universe. In my notes here it says, "Go out tonight and look at the stars in the vast sky." Well, you won't be able to, won't be able to do that. But along about September, go out and look at the stars in the sky and realize that 250 million times 250 million stars bigger than our sun exist. Realize that if you could be transported just to the nearest star in our neighborhood of space, a star called Alpha Centauri. And if you would go to Alpha Centauri and look back at the blue planet, you wouldn't even be able to see it. It's not even a speck. The earth is in the vast universe is not even a speck of dirt. And God created it. He created all of it. And the earth is a speck of dirt in comparison, not even a speck of dirt in comparison to the universe. And to think that I am just one of 7 billion people on that speck of dirt, and God wants to be my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The great Creator says to us, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place." With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one, that this great Creator of all this vast universe says that though even though he's high and holy, he wants to dwell with me. He wants to provide for me. He wants to take care of me. He wants to provide for me again. Okay. And so let's think about the shepherd. He's the omnipresent Jehovah. He's everywhere present, omni just everywhere. Omnipresent. The heavens of heaven cannot contain him. I want you to think about that. What does that mean? If the heavens of heavens cannot contain Jehovah God, then that has to mean he's bigger than the universe. That he's beyond the universe. That he can't even be put in a box called the universe, which seems to be expanding. The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Yet, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When in my life I've strayed from the shepherd, I've gone astray, he's still nearby. The old saying is, you know, that whenever we find ourselves far from God or drifted from God, we're not as close to God as we want to be, then the old saying is, well, who moved? God's right there where he's always been. We're the ones that move. We're the ones. And so he's ever present. When I've eaten something that I shouldn't have ate spiritually, in my soul, and I've drifted, the shepherd's still nearby. As the psalmist says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God's not abandoned me. He's still there. Thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Okay, so, you know, all this is just, we're talking about, okay, but what are you facing? What have you been through? What makes your heart flutter to think, I don't know what to do here. I don't know which way to go. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how I'm going to survive. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in my life if I remain in the same job, in the same position. And for 10 years from now, where am I going to be? Well, you might be in heaven. But 10 years, you know, well, understand this. That the shepherd's still there. And the shepherd still cares. And when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Man, what a statement, huh? Think about it. What a statement. That removes a lot of, anxiety. It should. To understand Jehovah God, the creator of all the universe, is my shepherd. That he's not going to fail. When the lion comes and the bear comes and the opposition comes, he's not going to move. He may allow us to go through some things, to experience some things. And recently I was reading some things. I found this book. Sometimes you can find some good books at Value Village. One out of 10,000. But it was talking about Saul suffering in sickness. And this lady who was writing about that there's really no hope in life, she had septus, I guess that's some kind of poison in your body, and she was given a 50-50% chance of living. And the chaplain came to see her, a woman chaplain, and I'm not a male chauvinist pig, I'm just old. A chaplain came to see her, and she said, you know, how can, if God's a God of love and God's a God of mercy, how could God allow me to be in this position, and how could a God of love allow me to suffer and hurt so bad? And the chaplain says, that's a good question. I'll go find the answer and come back to you. And the chaplain never came back. And so the social service person came, and the she asked the social service person the same question. How could a God, who's a loving God, allow this to happen to me? And the social service person said, well, you know, God is kind of like a man who, in a bigger scale God is, but God's kind of like a man who's walking around in the woods and he, as he walks, there's some anthills that he accidentally steps on, and some ants are naturally killed when you step on them, and that's just a part of life, and I don't even think sometimes God knows that he stepped on them. Well, let me tell you this morning that the Lord is my shepherd, and he knows exactly what's going on. He's not like that. We have some answers, and we have some hope to give to the world because the Lord is our shepherd. And he watches over us and takes care of us. And so he's the omnipresent God. He's everywhere present. Hebrews reminds us that he never takes time off to go to town. He's never away on an errand. The shepherd is not absent when the wolf comes. Again, Hebrews says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Philippians tells us, be careful or anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious. But by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Look in the book of Job. Job 23. Now listen, if anybody in this world could have thought that the shepherd must have went to town, it would have been Job. But in Job 23 and verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. And so Job was saying, where's he at? Why is this happening? And then he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed his words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job says, it seems like, you know, he's gone, but he knoweth the way that I take. Look in Psalms 13. Psalms 13 and verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Here the psalmist is saying, where's the shepherd? Where's the shepherd? Why haven't my prayers been answered? Why is this happening? Where's the shepherd? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? You think that, I mean, look at the language here. The thing about the Bible is that it's so realistic. It doesn't paint a false picture. And there's times in our lives when we say, Lord, how long are you going to forget me? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I'm moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You see, he knew something about the shepherd, and he knew something about himself, and he knew that at times we think that we've been abandoned, but I'm simply here to tell you that God will not abandon his sheep. He will not. And so not only is he everywhere present, but he's all-knowing. He's all-knowing God. Let me ask you something. Did any birds die last winter that God didn't know about? When you combed your hair this morning, and some of our heads are getting more and more thin. Did any hair fall out of your head that God didn't know about? Bible tells us he does. And so here I am. Okay, God knows about the hair that I lost this morning. But I don't know what's going to happen at work. You know, man, this guy's really a pain. And I don't know how I'm going to make it. The tax bill came in on my house, and it was much more than what I thought it was, and I don't know where it's coming from. These medical tests that came back don't look good. What am I going to do? He must enjoy counting hairs, because everything else is falling apart. But it's not falling apart. And God still knows. And nothing comes into the sheep's life that the shepherd doesn't allow to come into our lives. He's an all-knowing God. He knows, the shepherd knows what you're going through. He didn't miss it. Look in John 10:14. John 10:14, it says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. One of the media context seems to be that he knows his sheep is that he recognizes that sheep over there. He recognizes him, and he knows that that's his. It belongs to him. It's got its mark on it. They brand cows, so you can look at that brand and say, that's my cow because it's branded. The shepherd simply says, I know this sheep. But it's more than just a recognizing that, you know, it's got this brown spot on this rest of its white wool, or, you know, it's got kind of an interned foot. But he knows the sheep. He knows the personality of the sheep. When you count sheep out, if you have a number of sheep, and a band of sheep is around 1,000, as I've told you before. My uncles raised sheep and trailed them to the mountains every year, and I see my uncle stand at the gate, and they'd make the gate real narrow, and they'd count the sheep out. And when he got to 100, he'd tie a knot in the string. He got to another 100, he'd tie a knot in the string, and he just count to 100, tie a knot in the string. And every one of them, I mean, they all looked the same, man. Sheep were sheep. They're all fuzzy little things. But the shepherd knows. He knows what your weakness is. He knows. He knows what you're going through. And I'm simply saying that this shepherd is all-knowing. My sheep know my voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Look over in John 21. In John 21. And look in verse 15. So when they had dined, this is when Peter was out fishing and he recognized it was the Lord and swam to shore. And so when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Well, when you look at this, and of course there's a whole bunch that can be preached here, but my point is that here the disciples are watching, and they're saying, man, Peter really got raked over the coals here. Peter got it. Man. And we may look at people, and we may question their actions. We can even have disdain for their conduct. But we better be careful how we pass judgment. Because Peter knew one thing. He knew that the Lord knew him. And he knew that he loved the Lord. I'm just saying, take comfort in the fact that though people may question you, and I'm not making excuses for sin. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying sometimes people may look at you and they may wonder and they question and they think the thing that you're doing, and they may question where your heart is at. But know that you can stand before God in your person and know that Jesus knows. Sometimes there'll be things in your life where when you and it can be problems in your life and difficulties in your life, and people are standing back here and they're looking at it and they're watching you and they're making judgments about that. And if you try to go and you try to explain it to them, it just gets deeper and deeper. You can't explain it because you weren't there. They weren't there. And they don't know what was happening. They don't know the motives behind what was happening. They don't know the events that happened. But know this, that God knows. And if it's sin, God knows, and you need to deal with it. If it's a trial of your faith, then realize that that's much more precious than gold that perisheth, and God knows. And so the Lord is our shepherd. He's the omnipresent one. Okay, omnipotent. This shepherd is also omnipotent. Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Hebrews says that he's able to save us to the uttermost. He's a shepherd. David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" Psalms 43, a great passage. And David was just, he was saying, "Oh man, it's bad. It's bad. It's real bad. This is horrible. What's happening is bad. You know, I don't know what's going to be the outcome. It's bad. It's bad." And he kept, and finally David got a hold of himself, and it's like he grabbed a hold of his soul and he shook it, and it says, "Quit talking to yourself." When David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" he said, why are you feeling this way?" And he gets a hold of himself and said, "Quit talking to yourself and start talking to God." And he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And then David said to himself, "Hope thou in God." That he's a shepherd. Man, you can put your hope in him. He can help you. He's the powerful one. He's the one that can take care of you. And he's the one that never changes. Huh? "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." That he never changes. That he is constant. Yesterday, Molly's outside whining. You know, once you kind of halfway get your kids raised, you think you don't have to open the door for them anymore. And then the dog's whining, you know. And so she comes, when I open the door, she'd been out in the yard rolling in the grass, and all this cottonwood trees stuff is all over, you know. And she's going to cut. So she come in, and so I call her back outside. And so I rub her all down and get it off of her and open the door, and she stands there. He said, "Okay, boss, what do you want? You know, I wanted to come in, and you make me go back out. You want to come in? Make, you know, what do you, you know?" So finally I said, "Get in here, Molly." And she comes in. Well, the illustration there is this, is that God never changes. He never changes the rules. He never changes his desire. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you understand the value in that? That our shepherd is constant. Tell me, once you think about this deeply, tell me one thing that remains the same in all of this universe. The universe is expanding. Our sun comes up every morning, the revolution of the earth, but, you know, that's even some variableness they're saying. Is the sun the same? I don't think so. There's been bits of it burn up. But God is the same. Our shepherd is the same. And we have a great privilege to know him as the Lord. The Lord is our shepherd. Okay, I wanted to get down to "I shall not want," and I actually brought that lesson, but too many rabbits this morning, I guess. Simply, I was thinking about bringing some other lessons on Christian war, fair. But this, I just want to say this, that teaching Sunday school is not just an impartation, and of course you know this, but I want to remind you, impartation of truth. But it may be that there's some of you here this morning that need to get a grasp again of the fact that God is God, and that He is our shepherd, and that He cares for you. He's watching over you. If He has to discipline you, He'll discipline you because He loves you and He wants the best for you. Understand this morning clearly that God wants the best for you. The shepherd, there's no reason for a shepherd who doesn't want his sheep to prosper. There's no value in a sheep not prospering. God wants you to prosper and be in health. Okay? You're dismissed.